Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Shriram Transport Finance Q3 FY18 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Umesh Revankar, Managing Director and CEO, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening to everyone in India, and good morning to the investors who joined from US. I hope you had enough time to go through the investor update, which is already sent to you. I'll provide you a brief overview of the development on the ground before I share highlight of our performance. Starting with CV sales data from April-December, the overall CV segment had recorded sales growth of 15.2 year-on-year, while LCV recorded 19.3. The heavy vehicle grew at 9.3. year-on-year. One cannot compare the previous year's number because of the low base in the November-December in the previous year because of demonetization. However, Q-on-Q gives us a better growth numbers and demand. Last quarter, that is October-December, we witnessed good demand, and it also grew Q-on-Q, mainly due to the increase in rural transportation, rural demand, and higher rural agri output. At the meanwhile, the construction activity also witnessed good improvement, mostly post monsoon, you see that every year. So this year also we saw a good progress in the infrastructure activity, especially from the government point of view. The rural demand has been consistent, and that has been witnessed through LCV demand. And added to that, e-commerce also has helped the LCV demand to be on the robust level. We expect the demand to continue for the next 1 year, especially in LCV, because of a low base in the last year. And as far as heavy vehicle is concerned, I feel the infra will create enough demand, because along with the infrastructure activity, we also will see cement and steel movement, which will take away few of the vehicle from the road on the freight carrying vehicles to the infrastructure activity, and thereby creating some shortage. The heavy vehicle demand also has been a higher level, mainly because the earlier in the some parts of the country, overloading was rampantly happening, and now it has been curtailed to a large extent. And the people who are carrying the heavy...
Excuse me, this is the operator. I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir. Just yeah. 1 second. Participants, please stay connected while we have Sir reconnected. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently waiting. We have the line for Mr. Revankar reconnected. So you may go ahead.
Yeah, there was a disconnection. I was talking about the replacement demand coming mainly because of the earlier the overloading was happening in certain part of the country, which has now stopped mainly because of the strict control on the overloading. So vehicle which were carrying the heavy vehicles, 25 tonner, which are carrying overloaded items, this has been forcibly replaced by 31 and 37 tonner. And 37 tonner is not being available for used vehicle because these are the new phenomena and these have been in the market for last 5-6 years only. There is a sudden demand for a new vehicle in this category. And we expect this to remain for a certain time, maybe another 6 months. After that, probably we'll have a reasonable good used vehicle demand in 31 and 37 tonner also. GST had a reasonably good desired impact on the efficiency of the vehicle. The removal of check post has improved the overall turnover time of the vehicle, and around 15-20% efficiency is witnessed by many of the operators. That has helped them in their earnings. At the same time, increased diesel price in the last 1 month did create some anxious moment. But now in the last 1 week, we feel that it will be under control and it may not really disturb us in this quarter. The infrastructure push has been reasonably big, and both Bharatmala and Sagarmala projects, which is a total outlay of 7,80,000 crore, is going to create a lot of demand in infrastructure-related activities for vehicles plus equipments in the next maybe 4 or 5 years. But definitely for next 1-1.5 years, it is for sure that infrastructure activity will create a lot of economic activity, employment, plus demand for the vehicles. Now let me briefly touch upon the headline numbers for the quarter. AUM grew by 18% year-on-year to 90,018 crore against 76,281 crore. Net interest income was higher by 21.5% to rupees 1,709 crores compared to 1,1412 crores. Net interest margin has remained same from the previous quarter to this quarter, that is 7.48. But compared to the previous year, it is increased from 7.17 to 7.48. The PAT has grown, increased by 43.26% year-on-year to 495.63 crores against 345.96 crores in the previous year. EPS per share is at 21.85 compared to 15.25 in the previous year. Collection efficiency has been largely good and we expect it to improve further. This quarter ending, the GNPA stood at 7.98% and net NPA at 2.45 with the coverage ratio maintained at 71.04%, same as the previous quarter. We would be transitioning into 90 days NPL recognition by the end of the current fiscal year. And we are working on the behavior of customer and also trying to improve our employees' approach towards this challenge, and we are confident that we'll be able to manage handle it reasonably comfortably when we move into this 90 days. The overall increase should be anywhere between 100 to 120 basis point is what we feel at this point of time. As per the share purchase agreement dated January 24, 2018, MXC Solution India Private Limited has agreed to acquire majority stake in company's wholly owned subsidiary, Shriram Automall India Limited, for a consideration of 156.38 crores. The transaction is expected to be completed by April 2018. However, we expect it to be completed as early as possible. To conclude, CV industry across LCV, M&HCV and rural demand for second-hand vehicle makes us look at very positive next couple of quarters. We had indicated around 12 to 15% AUM growth, but as of now we are at 18% AUM growth for the year, and we expect the same increase in the subsequent quarter also, next quarter also. Next year would be again, we would be targeting at around 15% AUM growth, as we expect good demand from the infrastructure activity. However, depending upon monsoon, things may change in this second half of the calendar year. We are also seeing some shift, I don't say some significant shift from money lender lending in the rural area to the organized sector. So we are expecting a good increase of lending to the used vehicle, and in the deep rural area where we are opening a lot of our branches. And these branches are our existing rural center, which have been converted into branches. Our total number of branches now stand at 1121 numbers, and the rural centers at 900 numbers as on December 31st. I come to end of my opening remarks. I also have with me Mr. Sundar, Mr. Parag Sharma, and Sanjay Mundra to answer specific questions. Now I request moderator to open for question and answer.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star, then one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star, then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star, then one. We take the first question from the line of Amin Pirani from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on the new vehicle business. I mean, is there increased competition from, say, you know, banks or other, you know, institutions on the rates being offered for new vehicles, especially on the LCV and the HCV side?
I understand that there is a competition for the fleet operator segment, that is, people who are having large number of vehicles. And this competition is basically between banks, because banks have been lending to them.
Mm-hmm.
And since we are focused on small operators,
mm-hmm.
we have not seen, witnessed any such competition coming from.
Okay.
So, you are right that between one or two banks, I was told there is a competition. And we have not seen that kind of competition among NBFCs.
Understood, sir. And sir, you also mentioned, you know, that since the vehicle tonnage is increasing, so 25 tonner is getting replaced by 31 tonner, and hence, you know, the growth is more on the new side relatively compared to the used side. So, given that, you know, the market is either shifting towards the smaller vehicles or the larger vehicles, is there a risk that in the used segment for the 20 and 25 tonner, we could see some pressures either on the growth side or even on the you know, the recovery side?
As far as the used vehicle 25 tonner is concerned, it has been in declining for last 3 years.
Right.
It is not new.
Okay.
The only last area of operation or usage was there in the overloading segment, that was in northern belt of India.
Okay.
Even there, now it is a replacement is coming. So, You are right that 25 tonner has been facing a resale value problem in the last 3 years. But we don't have a huge presence in the northern belt.
Okay.
So we don't see any of that will is going to impact us.
Understood. So I'll come back in the queue for more questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Shiv Kumar from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my question is regarding the coverage ratio. Currently, you are at 71%, and now that you will be moving to the 90-day recognition in Q4, and which is kind of the final step in terms of coming down from that 180 days. So what is the mandate from the board, sir, in terms of coverage? Will you go to 65 or will you stay at 70? Any guidance?
See, we have not decided yet. We would like to look at the environment at that time. However, we had discussed this in the board in the beginning of the year that maybe around 5 or 10% decrease could be thought about depending upon the environment. So we will take a call at the appropriate time on the same.
Right. Sir, and keeping this 90-day recognition thing apart, we see that on a quarter-on-quarter basis, there has been a steady accretion to the GNPAs of around 250 crores, and also there will be some write-offs also. So is there any sense as to when this hemorrhage will stop? As to on the ground, do you see any dwindling of the stress?
There is improvement, definitely, in the overall market. What we see is that our customers who have been traditionally in operating with a single vehicle and they have been paying to us as and when they earn, they have been having certain behavior pattern. So accordingly, they have remained at that delinquent level. It is not that intentional, but because being a single operator, their money gets diverted into their home exigencies. So the customer behavior to change, it will take some more time. So as a overall percentage, if you look at, we were at 8.06 and it has come down to 7.98 this quarter. So there is a gradual improvement, and this improvement will continue to happen is what we believe. And maybe as the environment becomes better and better, we should also appreciate the fact that our customers have come through difficult challenges in the last year, last two stages, demonetization and GST. To some extent, they did face uncertainties, and they are going through a reasonably better environment now. So I feel if this environment continues to be good, we feel that this will improve. And we are confident that next quarter things will become much better as we go into 90 days because there will be more number of people moving into NPL NPL of 90 days. But still, we should be able to influence their behavior and change over the period. So next 1 year will be more crucial for us. So we should be able to bring down overall credit cost, which is around 3%, to around 250, 260 basis point, maybe in the next 1 to 1.5 years.
Right. So for FY19, we can assume around 2.5 to 2.6%. That's what you're guiding, right?
Yes.
Right. Sir, and one final question on the margin front. Instead of an adverse movement in the yield curve and the higher share of newer vehicles, your NIM has been stable at around 7.48. So how do you see this moving going forward, sir?
See, this quarter, we should be stable because most of our fundraising will come through securitization. So we don't see any pressure on our borrowing cost. So, and the new vehicle lending is quite small to our overall size. So it has not really impacted. And we have not been reducing the lending rate for the sake of competition. because we are lending to our own existing customers. So we are not really impacted because of the competition in the new vehicle.
Right, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Karthik C. from Buena Vista Fund Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity, sir. My first question is for FY19, what is your expectation on both employee recruitment and branch additions?
We have 900 rural centers, and every one of these rural centers is potential branches. It all depends upon how quickly we'll be able to scale up these rural centers. So as we stand now, we should be able to open around 200 branches in a year. So that is the target. So next year we should be able to add 200 branches to our overall number of branches. So now we are at 1121. And maybe we may end up with 1,200 this year. Then another 200 we should be able to add next year, next financial year.
And what will it be in terms of number of employees?
Number of employees, we are at around 23,000 now. We should be able to add another 1,000 to 1,500 next year. And number of employees required as we open a number of branches will be there on an average of 5 per branches. Then depending upon the growth, we may add more or we may slow down.
Got it. Sir, if I take this 200 branches addition on a base of 1,200, which is effectively about 16-17%, and if I just juxtapose this against our AUM growth, which is around 15-16%, what it effectively means is at branch level productivity, we expect it to be more or less same. If we are actually opening 200 branches, which are essentially rural centers, shouldn't we at least be planning or expecting a higher level of AUM growth?
No, what happens is this rural center, ticket size will be smaller. So we cannot really add that. As a number of customers, you are right. But the ticket size being smaller, it addition to the overall size will be lesser than 15. So it could be around 8 to 9%. So the existing branch also will be keep growing. It is not that existing branch will not grow from this size.
Got it. Sir, my second question is, if we observe in the last three quarters, the M and LCV segment has actually been growing faster than the HCV, as a result of which the mix has also been increasing. What impact does this have on our asset yields?
As long as we have a good used vehicle, I don't think it will have any impact. Because an M&HCV is not only new, we are also doing used. So we don't expect it to alter our overall asset yield.
Okay, got it. And so my last question is, anecdotally, based on the feedback either from your customers or brand staff, any color on how some of these new online truck aggregators who have come up, especially in the South, what impact they are having on your business? I'm talking about, let's say, apps like Link or so, who claim to aggregate a lot of the mini trucks and the mini LCVs and helping drivers get more trips, etc. Has there been any feedback on what impact that has on your business?
See, I have no opinion here, but why I'm telling you is if they're adding around 100 or 150 truck under them, it is not going to matter. When the overall truck population in India, both the heavy and new put together, is 1 crore. So few hundred vehicles being empaneled or brought under app is not going to make a big difference. It is some startups, I understand, that they're trying to bring vehicles under them and paying them even for idle capacity or idle keeping the vehicle just in the under their overall control. So this doesn't going to really disturb anyone. So we have to wait and see. That is my approach. And as of now, there is no impact anywhere.
Got it. And so lastly, as far as funding costs, are we, in your estimate, are we coming to the end of, let's say, whatever benefit that we used to get because of lower funding costs?
Right now, it looks as if it is coming to an end. But we may not see an increase also immediately because we have a perfect ALM. So we don't really see an immediate increase. So this quarter also, we are confident of maintaining the borrowing cost at present level. But next quarter, we cannot say because as far as funding cost is concerned, you have international play also is very important. So international event also can impact that. So very difficult to predict.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much and wish you all the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity. Now, sir, I just wanted to clarify. You mentioned for FY19 we are looking at credit cost at 2.5% to 2.6%. Is that what you mentioned?
Yeah.
Okay. So given the transition that we are into, basically into 90 days, so what sort of steady state credit cost is one should look at? Are we going back to 1.5%? Is that a possibility, or what's the steady state? Some thought on that would be helpful, actually.
See, our customer base who are all single operators and who have income on the vehicle, and their family also is dependent on the income of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So it has been around 2% steady state for us. It has never been less than that. So we immediately look at a possibility of bringing it to around 2.5 to 2.6 in the second half of 2019 as we study our post 90 days migration, study our business. But beyond that, I can't predict now because environment can always change. So even though next 3 years, environment looks reasonably positive because of the infrastructure activity and economic activity. And even today, there is an economic survey talking about 7.5% GDP growth, etc. If it all remains positive, then we should be able to do that. So we can't give a very long-term projection on this because as I was, I'm trying to repeat you that our customer base is the person who are having one or two or three vehicles, very few vehicles, and the vehicle, his operating income and his ability to repay also depends upon the other factors like his overall ability to generate more income and his family maintenance, etc. So, with this limitation, we can tell you that this is what is possible.
Okay. And so 2.5, 2.6 would be a new steady state. That would be a right way to understand?
No, that's what we are predicting. We can't say that steady state or whether we can improve on that. It is possible to improve on that if environment becomes much better.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Sure, that's it from my side. Thank you very much. All the way back.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Vibha Batra from Fair Connect. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. The thing is, now, depending on the environment, how do we kind of expect the recoveries from 90 plus DPD level, and 90 plus DPD is broadly how much higher than your current NPAs?
Now, as we move to 90 days, the addition will be around 100 basis to 120 basis points on our existing NPA levels. So that's
okay.
What we expect, because every time when we move from one right from 180 days to 120 days, we have witnessed this is the moment. And
okay.
We expect on same line.
Okay. And how much would be the recovery? I mean, because these will be softer NPAs, so recovery, eventual recovery from these NPAs should be much higher. So if you were to project over lifetime, if you have a stock of 90 DPD,
mm-hmm.
how much will you recover and how much would be kind of lost on principle?
We always felt that, you know, for the kind of business and the kind of customer we are lending to it, we feel that even though we have to maintain 90 days DPD as per the RBI regulations, but still on the working side, we feel still the customer is between 90 days to 180 days. I think, you know, most of the money will be recovered. Only once it becomes above 180 days, then we have to really think it off how much percentage goes. So as of now, if you look at in this current, even in the current fiscal year, I think 180 days has been quite stable. And if you recollect when we started migrating from 180 days to 150 and then 120, our GNPA was around 4.3-4.4%. So it has been stable in those lines till now, even in last 2 years. So we expect the recovery in 90 to 180 days will be far, far higher than what it is there in 180 days.
Okay. And since you consider 180 plus in your customer segment is a level which one should watch for, would it be possible for you to disclose that number in your presentations going forward as well?
See, that's the one thing that we can think it of, but right now we are not disclosing, but whenever somebody asks, we provide the number.
Okay, so what is 180 plus?
Around 4.25.
4.25%. And has it come down in last 1 year?
Last 1 year it has reduced by roughly around 10 to 12 basis points.
Okay, not a material change. Yeah. And do you expect this number to come down going forward, say next 1 year? Because last 1 year was full of events for us. Next 1 year, do you think this will come down?
Yeah, definitely. We are looking at something, you know, sub 4% level, you know, probably in next 2-3 quarters.
Okay. And what is our cost of funding on securitization and assignment transactions now? Are we doing any priority sector there?
Yeah, we've done both priority and non-priority. So priority is going at roughly 7.5 and non-priority is at around 8 to 8.25. That is the rate.
This is securitization?
Securitization only, no assignments.
Okay, and this will be what, AA-rated pools or AAA?
Largely AAA-rated only.
AAA. 7.5 is priority and 8.25 is non-priority.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Kamal Verma from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. This is Prakhar. Just a couple of data points and then two questions on the strategy. Could I have the disbursement numbers for the used CV for this quarter and the previous quarter, if you have it handy?
Yeah, this quarter, the used vehicle is 10,940 crores.
Okay.
And last quarter, it was 10,465 crores.
Okay. And second thing is on the bit on the strategy part, one, you know, FY19 will be a year in which, you know, you generally operate in the 6-year-old CV financing segment, and FY19 would be 1 year in which, you know, you'll probably be refinancing the CVs that were first sold in FY13, FY14. When market actually saw a big correction in terms of new sales. Would it be possible to shed some light, like how do you plan to, you know, manage this transition? Because in FY13, MHCV sales were down by approximately 23%, next year again 25%. How does that impact your market sizing for the next 2 years?
See, depending upon the environment, the change in hands, pattern keeps changing. Now, when the environment is very good, after 3 years, vehicle will change hand. and the environment is not very good, after 5 years, vehicle will change in hand. So the number of vehicle changing in hand depending upon the kind of economic activity and environment. So total number of used vehicle in the market will remain same. Like now, 1 crore is the total vehicle registered in India, including LCVs and EV. Now, out of that, new that is sold last year would be around 7 lakh. And rest, everything will be used. So, if the environment is good, after 2 years or 3 years, this vehicle will come for a second-hand sale or purchasing. So, as long as this 1 crore vehicle population is there, you can keep doing the lending activity. And if we imagine a situation where the economic activity is very high and people buy more new vehicle, then people will sell the existing vehicle within 2 years or 3 years or 4 years. So the change in hand will keep happening. So it is how many vehicles are registered and how many of them are newly registered in the last 1 or 2 years are important. Rest everything will be very dynamic depending upon the market situation.
Yes. But sir, you know, the gap in, you know, say 1 year and a 3 year and a 6 year, you know, vehicle in terms of yields is also, you know, material. So
yes.
If a new vehicle goes at like 10-11% or 12% and a UCV is at 18-19% for the bracket that you do, I believe a 3-year-old vehicle might be somewhere in between earning probably 14%, 15% yields. Would that not be, you know, something that you will have to manage if basically volumes don't get affected, but the profitability might? Is that, is there a way to, you know, cover that up?
See, what happens is we have such a large base. And the second thing is we are also getting into rural area aggressively. When I answered the previous question, we would observe that we are opening around 200 branches in a year, and mostly in the rural area. A rural area gives us higher yield. So we will keep acquiring a new new territory or new customer at higher yield, which will be able to manage the newer heavy vehicle at lower yield. And that's how we'll be able to manage an overall NIMS at present level is what I feel.
So, sir, actually, I just wanted to ask you on the rural part. Now, don't you think, or the way we've seen it for other financial companies, generally around the election period, even though rural looks as if it's a good growth opportunity, it ends up being slightly a difficult collection market because of the way politicians influence behavior of people temporarily, if not permanently. And we've seen that repeatedly in 2017, and we'll probably head into 2018. And if the book seasons and starts to show issues, don't you think you would rather take some time off from the rural market?
So I don't agree with that because I have been in this business for last 30 years. And rural customers always have been very loyal, and their loyalty levels are much higher. And their gratitude towards finance companies or financiers is much better. So, yes, there are few instances where the people get swayed. But mostly people who borrow from the bank, they get disturbed because they expect some kind of a soft attitude from the bank because they feel that banks are nothing but belongs to the government, especially public sector banks. That's how this behavioral change will be there, only towards banks. But as far as NBFC is concerned, I don't really expect much change. Neither we are affected till now, or nor do I expect trouble because of the election.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Utsav Gogiwar from Investec Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. My question is related to the operating expenses. This quarter, the staff cost has increased around 38%, and even the other OPEX has increased around 26%. Just want to understand the reason behind this, and how do you expect the cost-to-income ratio over the next year?
The number of people have gone up significantly. We have added, if you look at year-on-year, we have added 7,000 people additionally. And therefore, the staff cost has gone up. And going forward next year, I don't, the addition will be much slower. Definitely, there will be more addition, but it will be much slower. And since the volumes we are expected, we are expecting the volume to keep growing, we do expect the overall cost to income ratio to around 22 to 23. And there has been, we have been consistently informing you that.
Okay. And sir, second question is with respect to the data point. Can you help me with the disbursement breakup in pre-owned new vehicle and other segment for this quarter and last year?
The new vehicle for this quarter is 1795 crores. Hmm. The used is 10,940 crores.
Right.
And the others is 644 crores. Making it total at 13,379 crores.
Mm-hmm.
And the last year, the new vehicle was 565 crores. I'm talking year on year.
Yeah.
The used vehicle was 7,531 crores. And the others were 25 crores. Making it total 8,123 crores.
Yeah. And how is the sequential quarter two?
Quarter two, the new was 1,288 crores. The used vehicle was 10,465 crores. And the others were 624 crores, making it total 12,377 crores.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Nishant Shah from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just like a qualitative question about your asset quality. So, like, sequentially, we've seen some uptick in asset quality. So, it seems like there's been the traction on recoveries is not being seen, at least as much as we're seeing it for seeing this for the other competitors who are operating in such similar segments. So, could you just, like, give us some color about the recovery environment? Like, we're very bullish on the rural environment, so why aren't we seeing some of the recoveries happen?
No, we are definitely witnessing a better recovery.
Okay.
And when you compare to year on year, it is basically we are moved from 150 to 120 days. That is the main reason. So we can't exactly predict the behavior of the customer 150 to 120 days. So some will keep adding, some will go out.
No, fair enough. So even on a quarter-on-quarter basis, this is on 120 DPD, we've seen an uptick of 270 crores.
Yeah.
There's, like, you know, some of the other peers that have reported, they've seen at least some improvement sequentially, be it the banks in this particular segment or be it other asset financiers.
Yeah, see, we are the, probably the largest used vehicle financiers. We have more than 85% of our portfolio in the used vehicle. So used vehicle customer and one vehicle operator or small, two or three vehicle operators are our customers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of our competitors have such a customer base. These customers have their income from the vehicle and have to maintain their family also. So we don't go out of the way to bring it down by aggressively repossessing the assets. We normally try to educate them to bring it down. So I don't think there is a comparison to our portfolio with any one of the NBFC or bank.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. Take care. Thanks. That's it.
Thank you. We take the follow-up question from the line of Amin Birani from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, thanks again for the opportunity. Sir, two questions. First of all, one thing you mentioned was that, you know, because the turnaround time has reduced, that has helped the profitability of fleet operator. But at the same time, the ban on overloading would definitely, you know, have a negative impact, at least in the near term, on the profitability, because, I mean, you need more trucks to, you know, transport the same amount. So, on the balance, is the profitability getting impacted because of this, and that is, does that increase the risk for, you know, for financiers like you?
No, in fact, you're right. There's an immediate benefit will come down to individual operator because he would have earned much more income per ton basis when he transport overloaded.
Correct.
But what actually happens is his other expenses come down. For example, the tire replacement, if you overload every 3 or 4 months, you have to replace the tire.
Okay.
But if you are underloading, then your tire mileage goes up to 6 months or 7 months. And if it is a radial tire, then it goes up to 9 or 10 months.
Okay.
And fuel average will definitely go up because fuel average, if you overload, it is 2.5 per kilometer for heavy vehicle.
Okay.
And if you underload, it is 4 kilometers.
Okay.
So there are so many other advantages. So per trip, he may be loser. But over the 2-3 months, he gets same. So virtually there's no loss. But the biggest advantage would be his breakdown of the vehicle will be much lesser.
Okay.
And his vehicle value will be much better when he wants to sell.
Okay. So from that point of view, you are protected on the asset side also.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Resale values will be much better.
Okay. Understood. And sir, just on your AUM breakup, so just wanted to clarify on the passenger vehicle and tractors, is that mostly used or is it a mix of new and used?
It's mostly used. The new is very low, very less.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, sir, in the passenger vehicle, at least because of the GST, which has been, I mean, changed now, but at least in the first 6 months of the year, 9 months of the year, the GST on the used was much higher. So, did that impact the business and, you know, is that changing to some extent?
No, GST has no impact because when the vehicle is sold individual to individual, there is no GST. It is only when a corporate sells, there is a GST.
Okay,
so most of these vehicles, second-hand vehicle changes, individual to individual.
Okay.
There is no GST impact on that.
Okay. So even earlier it did not impact you, and even with the change,
you're right. You're right.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Saurabh Dole from Trivantage Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. My query is with respect to the stake sale that you're doing on Shriram Automall. As I understand, you enjoyed certain synergies between your company and this subsidiary. Can you please comment a bit on what kind of loss in synergy or loss in business volumes will you have to weather because of this particular sale?
In fact, we are going to gain much more. I'll explain you how. See, we were only in physical auctioning. The physical auctioning means we had auto malls and the vehicle has to come physically there three days before the transaction and it will be inspected by the people who visit it. Then they participate in auction. So a physical mode has a particular restriction in number of transactions that can happen. But online can be unlimited. It can be very large.
Okay.
So we were wanting to go into online. And also many of these NBFCs and banks, they are not very comfortable doing the physical auction because they have to move all their repossessed assets into our yard before physical auction. And also they were not comfortable putting the vehicle in on our platform, which is 100% subsidiary of STFC. So when you project the company as independent company, we expect many more banks and NBFCs will participate. And what we are acquiring is, what family is acquiring here is, they are acquiring 100% online auction business of car trade. Car trade and car deco, they are a combined entity.
Mm-hmm.
And car trade auction exchange, which is online, that 100% of their online business will come into SAMIL. And also there is a another subsidiary, which is Adroit Inspection, which has built skill in inspecting the second-hand vehicles. Because all these days, new vehicle, if you look at the car trade or car deco, if you go there and click for new vehicle, you get 360 degree of a new vehicle that is being sold. But you don't have that similar picture or view of used vehicle. This Adroit is giving that kind of a view. So what we expect is the online transaction being much high,
mm-hmm.
and number of people who browse online are much higher. Approximately 20 million customers, they browse through car trade.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we understand. So we feel that much bigger transaction will be there on car trade and car deco, and because of that, the SAMIL will get that benefit of doing both online and physical. So our understanding with SAMIL continues, and we will get additional advantage of having the reference and referral built based on the online transaction. So the physical, whatever transaction is happening, that will continue. Apart from that, whatever is happening online also would be available or accessible to us. We have some understanding on that. So overall, we are going to gain much more. Initially, it will be more passenger vehicle, but over the period, it will be trucks also. So we feel that it is a big win-win for us and for car trade, because they are going to consolidate their business. And for us, we are going to get more referrals and references from the transaction, and we'll be able to build our used vehicle business much, much bigger because of this transaction.
Okay, and sir, just one data keeping question. Can I have the 120 plus DPD outstanding as on December 16?
You mean absolute number or
percentage-wise?
Yeah, just a second. December 16 was... it was 7.9.
No.
7.9? 9.98
is...
December 16 was actually on 150 days. We don't have 120 days.
No, you must be recognizing it on 150 plus, but do you have the 120 plus?
We don't have.
Okay, but what about 90 plus DPD as on today, as on December
17? 120 basis point more.
About.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Kamal Verma from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up question. I just wanted to check, this is Prakhar, just wanted to check, you know, this Shriram Automall sale, on this 157 crore transaction, what would be the estimated profit and the taxation working on that one? It'll come next year, but just want to get a broad sense.
It will happen in the last quarter, that is the fourth quarter.
This quarter.
And post-tax, it will be around 120 crores.
Actually, you mentioned in the press release completed by April 23.
That is the upper limit of 3 months that we have mentioned, and we are confident of doing it in the current quarter.
So, can I have the 120 is the post-tax number,
yes.
And pre-tax number will be like 140 or something?
No, pre-tax will be
156.
156. Isn't it a unlisted company stake sale from...
Long-term capital gain.
Long-term capital gain. So, okay. So, this is all is profit only.
Correct. 120 will be...
120 is a profit.
Correct.
Yeah, 120 will be the pre-tax profit. And you intend to make any provisions on tough, you know, stress loans against this, or not finalized as yet?
This and that can't be linked. This is independent.
This will be. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. As we come to the end of today's session, we feel very confident that next quarter and the subsequent part of this year would be very good. We are mainly backing on the infrastructure push by the government. With both Sagarmala and Bharatmala project are being implemented, we expect a lot of investment in the road infrastructure. And also we feel that with the economy recovering and economic our rural demand continuing to be good, we should continue to do well in the entire calendar year. And when we meet next time, probably we'll have a much better clarity on where we are heading towards. And the new economic survey, which is just announced, also talks about 7.5 GDP growth. And we all hope that it will give us better results, and we will have a lot of good things to talk about when we meet next time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Shriram Transport Finance, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.